From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 25th day of September, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson, discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner, and hear about the weeds farmers should be scouting for from the combine cab from Aaron Hager. Oh, and I'll ask you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, or to go online at willgive.org with your pledge of financial support for Illinois Public Media's agricultural programming. December corn today settled at $4.15 a bushel, up 3.5. The March at $4.33, 2.5 higher. And May futures at $4.43, up 2.25 cents. Soybeans, November, $10.53, 11 cents higher for the day. The January at $10.71, 3/4, up 11.25. And the March at $10.84, 3/4, 11.5 cents higher on the afternoon. Bean meal futures were up 2.50. The bean oil, 43 cents higher. And soft red winter wheat in the December up 11.25 cents. Have you dialed that number yet? 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL to make your donation today. Pledge your financial support to Illinois Public Media to willag.org. When you do it, do tell the person on the other end of the line that it's in support of agriculture. Or if you go to willgive.org, you can fill it all in. And in the comments section, put in support of agriculture. All the analysts, brokers, meteorologists work really hard in an effort to give you the best information possible. And we are supported in large part by you. About 40% of our budget comes from our listeners. So make that donation today. Don't wait. 217-244-9455. Greg Johnson is now here. He is with TGM. That's Total Grain Marketing, the elevator right here in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thank you for joining us again on this Wednesday.
It's good to be with you, Todd.
We're glad to have you, and thank you for your service to Illinois Public Media for, oh, so many years. I don't really know how long you have been on the air, but it's a very long time now.
I'm moving up the list. Now that Wayne retired, I'm one step closer to the top.
A long, long time. A long, long time. Thank you for being here and doing that. I do appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
What do you see in the marketplace today?
Well, the big thing is the funds continue to cover a big portion of their soybean short position. The last couple of weeks, they've been covering their short position in corn, but they really had not been covering any of their bean position to speak of. But since the Fed lowered the interest rates by 0.5 point last week instead of just 0.25 point, and now there's more talk of them lowering the rate again by another 0.5 point at their November 7th meeting, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, the funds have decided that maybe a $3 profit from $13 early this year to now down to $10, maybe that's enough profit and they're going to book their gains. It is the end of the quarter. So that makes, if they take that actual profit, it makes their books look good. But that's probably a big reason why we've seen the funds cover, and they've bought back almost half of their short soybean position. So that's the good news. And beans have rallied 90 cents since that August 15th low. The corn has rallied 35 cents since their August 26th low. And the wheat has rallied 65 cents since their August 27th low. So the funds are a big part of that. From a fundamental point of view, we can kind of point to Brazil weather. It's still dry. They've kind of pushed back the rain for Mato Grosso until the second half of October. So the first half of October may remain a little dry. So that's supportive to the soybean market as well. And then the final thing I think that has caught a little bit of attention is the weather over in Europe and Russia. Some of the harvest numbers are starting to trickle in and, disappointing, 20-25% less, which we kind of knew of. But when you actually see the actual yield results come in, it kind of hammers home that their crop was not as good as expected. And that could lead to, more export demand here out of the United States, especially with a weaker dollar.
Have the funds just liquidated their positions, or have they changed their positions altogether and purchased?
Some of the funds, there's some funds that are just getting in, and so those are new positions, those are new longs. But the majority of it, I think, is just liquidation of those short positions. So they're just getting out and booking their profits, which makes sense. Corn's, well over a dollar off its highs from the beginning of the year. Beans are $3 off their highs. So they've got some nice profits in there, but, they can't realize realize those gains until they actually buy it back. And so I think that's what's been going on last week and this week.
So secondary question, do the funds roll every month and that keeps the pressure on the marketplace, or either to the upside or the downside? And if that is the case, if it's just liquidation, does the pressure go away to boost the marketplace?
Well, the pressure goes away, and that's why we've seen the rallies that we have seen. But in order to get more than what we've gotten so far, then we almost have to revert back to the fundamentals, and we have to have some fundamental factor that would keep us going higher. We still are looking at a 2 billion bushel corn crop. We're still looking at excellent yields from Illinois on west. I understand Indiana, Ohio yields are a little disappointing, but Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota yields seem to be very, very good. So, you know, from Illinois west, that's going to keep pressure on the market because there's a lot of farmers that did not get very much new crop corn or beans sold. So if this market rallies too much because of the fund buying, farmers will sell into that, which they probably should. And so that'll keep a lid on how high we can go. So the funds are good for a part of this rally, but in order to keep it going and extend it, it's going to take something fundamental, whether that be South American weather or smaller crop here or some kind of unexpected demand that we haven't talked about.
What's harvest pressure look like in our area at this point?
Well, we thought it might pick up this week, but with the rain we've had come in, it's really slowed things down. Farmers are hoping to get out in the field this afternoon. And then the rest of the week, there's a 50% chance of rain Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it kind of feels like this will be another slow week. And hopefully next week, we can start harvest in earnest. We tried a little half price drying last week, but the corn was simply just too wet. It was still in the upper 20s, lower 30s for a lot of people, unless you planted your corn in April. And most people now have beans that are ready. So we should see beans pick up once the weather cooperates. And then by the time the beans are done, then hopefully the corn will have dried down and we can roll right into corn harvest.
Hey, thank you much.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with TGM and based right here at the Elevator in Champaign County. His is just one of 19 regular voices beyond mine that you hear on Illinois public media talking about agriculture, the meteorologist, along with the brokers and analysts, as well as the cash grain specialist during the day. If these voices make a difference to your farm operation, if they help you to make a decision day in and day out about marketing a crop, then please take time right now and dial this number. It's 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Or go to willgive.org and make a pledge, a donation. You can do this by American Express, Discover, MasterCard, Visa. You can write a check. You can just call and say, hey, I'm going to make a pledge. You're going to get a check later. That's fine, too. However you do it, make sure that you do it today. Right now, don't wait. 217-244-9455 or at willgive.org. And if you do so today, your contribution up to $250 will be matched thanks to two friends of WILL, Waylon and Brenda Ehart. You have the opportunity again to double your impact by increasing your sustaining gift now. The Eharts have generously created a matching fund to encourage members to upgrade their recurring contribution during the fall fund drive. The fund will match the increase to your sustaining donation on a dollar-for-dollar basis up to $250. This opportunity is only available today, so don't wait. That means that when you call, you're going to say, hey, I'm going to make a donation of $120, and frankly, I'd like that just to happen each and every year, or you hit sustaining when you're at willgive.org. Or $250, even better, and, well, the Eharts will match it. And we thank them and you. Again, the number to call is 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support, or go online to make that donation at willgive.org. Now, up next, Aaron Hager, Extension Weed Scientist from the University of Illinois, has some thoughts about what farmers should be looking for from the combine cab as it's related to weeds. He says this harvest season is their last best chance to scout for the problem issues that will show up in 2025.
remember what you see, write it down, make a map if you need to, what worked, what didn't work. Many of the pre-herbicides that we used this year, performance was much better than what we had last year, especially under those dry conditions that we had here in 24. If anybody's thinking about doing any fall herbicide applications, we certainly would encourage people to consider that, but consider that primarily for control of any winter annual species. There's always a question almost every year that somebody would say, well, can I spray my soil residual in the fall and have that carry over into well into the spring for, you know, water hemp control, pigweed control? And the answer is absolutely no. Whatever that you want to invest in that soil applied product for water hemp control, you're going to realize a much better return if that's applied in the spring relative to the fall. A couple of other things about soybean. Post soybean, as it stands right now in 2025, you have two options that are effective on water hemp, and that is it. With the vacature of the dicamba labels, assuming that those products do not come back, you have Enlist One and you have a glufosinate. Those are the absolute only two effective options that we still have in the marketplace right now. We have encouraged people. We have yelled and screamed. We have stood on top of tall buildings trying to convince people the best thing to do is to combine Enlist One with a glufosinate. I can think of no scenarios, no reasons, if water hemp is your target species, to not apply those two together. I understand adding those two together does increase the cost, but if we compromise the effectiveness of either of those two products, we are done. There are no new ones coming in the marketplace. This is the same exact message that we have tried to get people to consider for the last 25 years, and we finally reached a point now where you have two options and nothing's warming up in the bullpen. We confirmed 2,4-D resistance in water hemp years ago in the state. 2,4-D is not as effective on amaranthus as glyphosate once was. We have to understand that. When Roundup was still effective on amaranthus, I would use the adjective, it was excellent. 2,4-D or dicamba, I will never use the word excellent to describe how effective they are on amaranthus. They're good or they can be very good, but they're not excellent. And there's a lot of escapes this past growing season when either a glufosinate or an Enlist One were used solo, but the instances of escapes from fields where those two products were put together were much, much fewer. And then finally, last thing I will say on the post-corn product side for 2025, we've seen what we believe is an escalation of failures of our post-applied HPPD inhibitors now for probably three or four consecutive seasons. This year, it was probably more common, more frequent than any year previous to that. They're failing. We really want to encourage people, if you're thinking about a post-HPPD, if you know that you may have issues in that field, you're obviously going to have a tank mix partner. If you want to keep the atrazine in there, that's fine. But what we really want to stress to folks is that if you're also going to be adding a dicamba product, and status is probably one on a lot of people's minds right now, 2 or 3 ounces of status is not going to be sufficient. The rate really needs to start at 5 ounces of status, and you can go up to 10 ounces. I know that's $5 an ounce. That adds a lot of cost, but you better make sure that you've got the rate of either status or Diflex high enough to where you ensure that you kill those plants on the first pass, because if you don't, the likelihood of killing them on any kind of a follow-up pass is a whole lot less.
Aaron Hager is an extension weed scientist based here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's check the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hello, Drew. How are you today?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. For the end of September, we couldn't complain. We can't complain.
Yeah, we shouldn't complain, and we won't complain. We had a little rainfall here, keeping producers in the local area, of course, out of the field. Though, again, it is the end of September, so they'd like to start to shuck corn and bring soybean in as well. What do you see for our part of the world and the Midwest in general over the next week?
Yeah, unfortunately, this wonderful weather is going to disappear for a little while. A little moisture is fine, but a little bit goes a long way when you're trying to get into the harvest season. So we do have this very complex setup right now with an upper-level low-pressure system that's going to settle over the Delta and parts of the the Tennessee River Basin area at the same time that our Hurricane Helene is going to be coming northward into Georgia. The two are going to combine. We're going to bring the worst conditions into Florida and parts of Georgia. But as time goes along, the remnant moisture from Helene is likely to get pulled back to the northwest into the lower Ohio River Valley and much of the northern delta once again. And so starting Thursday night, we'll see a little bit of rain beginning to occur. It'll become more broad-based as we go forward Friday, Saturday, and then we'll see it beginning to diminish from west to east on Sunday going into Monday. But there's definitely going to be a disruption here. In areas from southeastern Missouri and southernmost parts of Illinois, that'd probably be maybe the southern one-fifth of Illinois, into the northern delta from there through all of Ohio and Tennessee and extending northward into southern Ohio and parts of southern Indiana. That'll be where the greatest volume of rain is expected. We do look for maybe 2 to 4 inch amounts of rain across some of that region. A pocket or two may get some greater volume. To the north of that, up into central Indiana and central Ohio, we'll see some 3/4 inch to maybe 1 3/4 inch amounts of rain. And it'll be much more brief in that particular area. It won't be nearly as persistent, but there will be rain. Now, you get further to the north and further to the west, and it's not so bad. We're not going to see a lot of precipitation in those areas. And we're going to keep the temperatures fairly mild to warm for this time of the year. We will see much warmer than normal weather out across the plains and farther to the west and north. But in the heart of the Midwest, it'll be a little bit more seasonal. But anyway, once we get done with the precipitation on Sunday and for the Delta, probably end on Saturday. But for the eastern Midwest Sunday, there's not a lot of other precipitation that's in the pipeline. So we may get a frontal system that cuts through as we go forward into the second week of the outlook. But when that front comes around, it's not likely to produce large volumes of moisture. So we should see a good stretch of dry weather.
Sunshine and seasonable temperatures then?
I would think that's probably true, probably warmer than normal. There will be a little shot of cool air that will come down to the northern Midwest as we get out into early to midweek next week. So maybe a little frosty in parts of the upper Midwest, but the lower Midwest, not so cool. And the cool air mass will come and go fairly quickly. So we should get back to a mostly normal to slightly warmer than normal regime in the second week forecast.
We will be rolling into the month of October. Those frost and freeze dates start to show up across the Midwest. Any concerns in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt as to an early frost?
You know, I don't think so. We're going to see what I would call a normal frost, I suppose, in the upper Midwest. And I know that the heat units were lacking there for a while, but I think we've done a really good job running those higher here recently. And I don't think that there's going to be any serious impact. The cold that is coming, at least this first round of it, isn't intense enough to cause any serious harm, even for the most immature crops. I just can't see anything very significant impacting the crop. So I think we'll be home free after that.
Before we get to South America, can you hopscotch your way across Europe and Asia and give me a quick update on those growing regions?
Absolutely. In Europe, you know, we had that crazy rain flood event that occurred a couple of weeks ago. And all that runoff from that in parts of Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Austria, you know, on down, all of that water ran through the lower and middle Danube River basin. There was a lot of river flooding that occurred over a multiple day period after that. We are seeing most of that flooding now over. It's still dry biased. The weather is still dry biased in that eastern part of Europe. A few showers around, but not a lot of precipitation. Now, western parts of Europe are going back into a period of rainy weather right now. They've had their moments. They dried down for a little bit, but now they're going to be wet again for a little while. So not the best harvest environment in western or central parts of Europe, but the east will see definitely improvements. A little farther to the east in the former Soviet Union, we are still looking at this rather chronic dryness issue. For Russia's southern region, eastern Ukraine and western Kazakhstan, all in winter wheat producing areas, as well as a little rapeseed and some other small grains that are produced there that normally are planted by now, they are not. And those areas that were planted, obviously there's not enough moisture to get the crop up and running real well. So there's a lot of concern there. It's still just now coming up on the 1st of October. In the olden days, if you will, we usually saw the first season's significant cold surges by the end of October. And if you didn't have that crop planted by the 1st of October, you were running a big risk for winter kill in that year. But, you know, in recent years, we've had a tendency here for a lot warmer weather, a lot deeper into the autumn. And they've managed to get their crops planted well in 3 out of the last 4 years when they were real late like this. And so I think that there's still potential that they could do all right, but they don't have any rain in the pipeline right now for the next 10 days. And it might be close to 2 weeks before they start getting some moisture. So definitely a place to keep an eye on. For China, the Yangtze River Basin, it's a rapeseed and minor wheat producing area. Is quite dry right now, and they need rain. But they also have about a month before they really have to get critical about their planting. So I'm not terribly concerned about that dry bias. A little farther to the north in the winter wheat production areas of the Yellow River Basin, it looks really good. They've got a rain event coming up for the next 2 or 3 days, and that's going to be perfect. And they'll get aggressive in the fields right after that. Some of the summer crop harvest may be disrupted or a little slow because of rain in the north. But I don't see that as being a big problem.
What are your expectations for the monsoonal rains to begin in South America?
You know, we're already running a little late on the pre-monsoonal showers. Everyone's kind of a buzz about that already. And I don't see that changing. The next 10 days will continue to be a rather limited period of rainfall for Mato Grosso and Goiás and northern Mato Grosso do Sul. That's center west Brazil. And that particular area is the area that most people watch for that first season planting of soybeans. You know, they want to get it in late September, early October, so that they can do that safrinha corn crop later in the year. So we're not off to a very good start in some of that region. We're looking at least another week to 10 days before there's going to be any moisture to plant with. So it's going to be a little bit late. And, you know, in past years when we've been a little late, we still have been lucky, or they have been lucky enough to be able to still get their safrinha crop in with some good, decent late season rainfall. So we'll see what happens. But for right now, it doesn't look real pretty. We're going to continue to have a limited amount of moisture for a while. And Argentina, of course, still has dryness that's pretty impressive in the central and northwest part of that country. I don't see a lot of improvement there for the next week to 10 days.
Hey, thank you much. We'll talk with you again next week.
You bet. Have a great week.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Keep dialing that number with your pledge of financial support. It's 217-244-9455, or just go online to willgive.org. Either way, either tell the person on the other end of the line or put into the comments section in support of agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason.